Good morning. We are looking at a passage of Scripture. In fact, if you've got a Bible, go ahead and get your Bible out. If you don't have a Bible, we've got some ushers, and they've got Bibles, and they will gladly bring one to you. Just throw your hand up and just leave it up there for them to see that you need one. You can borrow it, or if you don't own one, you can keep it. It is a gift, and you can have it, and we would love for you to take it with you. But get one. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. Today we're actually going back to, and I shocked the tech folks this morning with this one. I was like, hey, we're going back to Sermon on the Mount. And they were like, going back to Sermon on the Mount? Didn't we finish that? I was like, no, we never finished it. So we've got still some ground to make up on that. And today we're picking up where we left off, and I think it's very fitting. In fact, I've been praying over what I would share and what I would be speaking on over the next couple of weeks before we actually ramp up to some of the announcements that we'll be making about some of the building stuff and all that coming here in a couple of weeks and a few weeks. And just wanting to try to kind of prepare our hearts to make sure that our hearts are in the right place, that that what we are doing as a church would be led by God, and it would be something that He would be wanting us to do, and not just something that we want to do. And so, as we're getting closer to that, I felt like, man, this is these next two passages were perfect for us to go through together before we hit that here in a few weeks. But we'll be talking about that today. In fact, the passage that we're talking about today is actually one of those passages that I think a lot of us, when we see it in Scripture, we just kind of skip over it. We're just kind of like, oh, okay, that's about that. We'll just go on to the next thing because, you know, that doesn't really apply to me, or, you know, that's old school or whatever it is. But it's Scripture. It's part of Scripture, and I think that it's important for us to study it today and to understand the heart behind it. And that, if nothing else, would be the main reason that we would teach through this, other than it being part of God's Word. It's part of Sermon on the Mount. Jesus taught it. It was important to Him. It was so important to Him that He included it in the middle of talking about the Lord's Prayer, and then going to talking about some other things that are important for us to get. You know, it's part of it. He taught it. And so as we look at this today, I want to encourage you to think about this as we study this together. I want you to think about the fact that sometimes when we look at passages like this, sometimes we're guilty of only looking at the actions involved with the passage. And this is an action passage. This is a passage that's talking about us doing something, okay? And specifically for us to talking about the subject of fasting. You know, and fasting is one of those things, you know, again, that we don't think a whole lot about it a lot of times, and maybe it's something that we've heard about, but we don't really understand it. And just so you know, if you've never heard about fasting or studied fasting, fasting is when you would, we see this in the Old Testament, we see it in the New Testament, where people would abstain from eating, but the purpose for them to abstain from eating was not because they were on Weight Watchers or something, would be because in lieu of eating, and in any time they would feel themselves getting hungry, it would be a chance for them to be reminded that they need to seek the Lord. And so it was this, you know, instead of eating on these days during the time they would normally eat, they would spend time with the Lord. They would spend time in Scripture. They would spend time in His Word. They would spend time in prayer. And when they'd feel themselves getting hungry, again, they would be this reminder. I mean, I need to seek the Lord. I need to pray. I need to spend some time with Him. I need to, you know. And so what I'm getting at here is I want us to make sure that today, as we talk about this, that instead of you leaving here today and going, okay, well, I need to fast. Well, Jesus talks about that. We're going to talk about this. I think it'll be pretty clear when we get through it. That's something that we can do, something that we do as disciples of Christ. But more importantly is the heart behind it. Why would we fast? Because I think if we're not careful, especially, you know, as we've grown up, you know, for those of you that are from the South and you've grown up in church from the South, you know, one of the things is that we just do the right thing. You know, we're good people. You know, we're always trying to, you know, we go to church and we, you know, all these kinds of things. By the way, we are the church. We don't go to church. We are the church, the body of believers. The people make up the church. Welcome to a warehouse that a body of believers meets in. Okay, you can call it a church building if you want, but at the end of the day, it and of itself is not the church. We are the church. And so you know, for us to just kind of catch a glimpse even of, you know, what it looks like for us to follow God is not just actions. There is heart behind that. And without the heart, if we only have actions, we're just being legalistic people. We're just being those people that we say we don't want to be, who just go through the motions and do things. And Jesus talks about that in this passage of Scripture that we're studying together today. And so as we look through this together, I just want to really encourage you, seek out what is the heart behind what Jesus is talking about here. And so as we study this together, I think God will speak to your heart. He's been speaking to mine. This is not something that I feel like that I have tamed or figured out all out or whatever it is. And for the most part, I'm preaching to myself today. So enjoy the ride while I basically preach to myself, okay? Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 is the passage. And I want us to look at this together. Matthew 6, 16 says, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Okay, so let's call it time out. That's the whole passage. That's the only passage I'm actually teaching today, if you can believe that. This passage, at the very beginning of it, leads us to understanding something. It shows us that Jesus believes that we will fast as disciples. It starts off, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like hypocrites." It's not if you fast, it's when you fast. And so, you know, this is one of those things that I feel like most of us have probably not been taught about over time, at least not very well. It's just one of those things that, you know, we've seen it, we've heard about it, we knew it was about not eating food, and we're all like, I don't want to be not about eating food because we've got something in the crock pot. When I get home, you know, we're going to eat that, or we're going to go to this new Mexican restaurant that has this amazing salsa and chips. We are praying that that is true on exit 31 as there's a new Mexican restaurant coming into exit 31. You know, you see where my head is. I mean, already there, I've made an idol out of this Mexican restaurant that's not even open yet. I'm just hoping that it's that good, right? And so, we want good food, right? So, you know, but I think for us to kind of get the picture, you know, that Jesus is being real specific. And really, if you look at this passage today, what he's talking about is he's talking about how not to fast, right? If you look at it, he's talking about how not to fast. We know he's making this assumption that we will fast, and obviously we want to know what that's about, and we want to kind of figure out if that's something that's supposed to be a part of our lives. We want to do that and be right in doing it, but we also want the right heart behind it. Well, in this passage, not only is he talking about that, but he's talking about how not to fast. And he goes on, he says, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward." So what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about don't put on this show for everybody else to see that you're trying to be godly, you know? This is, and we've all been guilty of this at some point in time, probably where we did the right thing because somebody was watching us, and we knew, you know, well, they're watching us, so I got to do the right thing. I don't want to do the wrong thing in front of them. You know, I don't want them to think bad of me. And the truth is Jesus is saying, look, don't do this for everybody else to see. Don't disfigure your faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. In other words, Jesus is saying, hey, take a shower, okay? Wash your face. Don't make it out to be like you're in some horrible suffering. Even if you are, whatever, don't look for the pity of others when it's really not about that. It's about following God. It's about seeking Him. He says, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. This is what Jesus is saying. He actually mentions this also earlier in the passage. If you go back, it's been months ago, I know, since we've been in Sermon on the Mount. But if you go back at the beginning of this chapter of Scripture, you see Jesus say a similar thing about people, you know, doing the right thing and giving to the needy and, you know, don't do it that you're, you know, doing it, you know, that everybody sees you kind of thing. Same principle, same idea. And he's saying, truly, I say to you, they have received the reward. And what he's saying is, he's saying their reward, they got it. They got their reward in whatever those people thought about them and the good that they did in front of them. So that's their reward. In other words, God's not giving them a further reward because they did this out of the wrong heart. And he says that same thing earlier in the passage, you know, when he's talking about the other giving to the needy and that kind of thing. And you know, I think for us to kind of get this picture, I think it's so important that Jesus, not only does he not give us like the 1-2-3 plan of how to fast, he just spends time making sure that we don't do it the wrong way. And so I think that with that being said, if you look at the whole of Scripture, and if you're wondering today, well, am I supposed to fast? I don't know. Is that something I'm supposed to be doing? Well, it's something that you can do if it's something that God leads you to do. But the truth is that for most of us, I think for a lot of us, we would know if it's something God's leading us to do because we're not listening. Why are we not listening? Well, I know why we're not listening. At least I think I do. We're too busy. Everybody I know is busy. I have the same conversation. Tell me you don't have the same conversation with everybody you talk to. Everybody I talk to have the same conversation. And it goes something like this. I'll see a guy, hey, how's it going? Oh, man, whew, just busy, you know? So busy. I mean, I'm so busy, I thought last year was busy. I'm more busy now. I mean, this is true of like so many different conversations that I've had. You know, like, man, I'm just so busy. You know, and I'm busy too. I get it. We're busy. And there's nothing wrong with being busy. Unless busy trumps our relationship with Jesus. Here's the litmus test for you. Does busy trump your relationship with Christ right now? Does it? Well, here's the question to ask, so maybe that you could be honest with yourself. It's just between you and the Lord. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. That's not my interest here today whatsoever. Never is. But if you can ask the question, what time did I spend with the Lord this week? What time did you spend seeking God maybe through His Word? What time did you spend with God this week in prayer? Were you too busy for that? Because that's the real truth answer. Whatever the answer is to that for us, that tells us whether or not we're too busy. And the reason for fasting, before we just throw it out and go, well, I don't want to think about not eating. You know, the reason for fasting, especially in the culture at that time, you know, food was a huge deal. I mean, it's a huge deal to us, too. I know we got like TV, you know, TV channels about food and stuff, you know, whatever. And that's one thing I don't miss about cable, is that being on my TV all the time. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, it becomes this idol. And it was an idol to so many people then that it was one of those things that basically was an understanding that, you know, sometimes we need to take those idols and we need to push away from them and back away from them to the point where we go, you know, in place of that, I'm going to try to seek the Lord and see what He has to say to me. I'll tell you, one of the things that frustrates me personally, in my own personal walk with the Lord, if you don't mind me sharing with you. One of the things that frustrates me is I look back on my life and I recognize moments where I was seeking God. I mean, like in ways that, I mean, just I was seeking the Lord. Like, I mean, just like I was steady with it and I was hardcore about it. And just, man, you know, and you have those moments, you feel that way. And you like, you look back on life and you go, man, I need that, you know, I need that back or whatever it is. And, you know, and I look back, I think about when we first started the church. I feel like that was one of those moments in my life when, you know, I was seeking the Lord and really trying to follow what God was leading us to do and that kind of thing. And it could have been a really scary moment in time. God gave me this peace about it. Truth be known, looking back on it, it's like one of the craziest things ever. You know, you leave like a job that's paying like great money, and you go because you feel led to do something. You go and you do this thing that you don't even know if you'll ever get a paycheck doing it or not. I mean, it was just this wide unknown of thing because nobody was like standing, you know, at the door on my way out the door going, "Hey, I'll just give you some money if you'll come, you know, start this church or whatever." It doesn't work that way. And so, but I look back at that time, and one of the things that I remember about that time in my life is that I feel like God showed me a whole lot about who He is. Why is that? It's because I was spending time with Him. It's because I was seeking Him. It was a priority in my life. And through that, God showed me so much more about who He is and was so much more glorified in my life and who He is, and convicted me and helped me to change who I was in many ways. And I mean, just all kinds of things. I mean, like the lists go on and on and on about what God did through that. But that's it. That's the point. That's the point of fasting. The point of fasting is that we would call time out in the middle of crazy, I'm too busy, and say, I'm going to seek the Lord. He is a priority to me. My relationship with God is a priority. And just like any other relationship that we have in our lives, if you've got a spouse, if you've got a boyfriend, a girlfriend, if you've got a best friend, a BFF, FF, you've got a WFF, or you've got a whatever, I don't know, if you've got a long-lost friend or whatever, all of those relationships are what they are based upon the investment that you've made in the relationship. And it's no different with God. The only difference with God is where, like, the long-lost friend or something, like, we might decide that we want to, like, rekindle this great relationship we used to have a long time ago or something. And then we go, and they're in a different place in their life, and maybe they've moved away, and it's not ever going to be what it was. The only difference is with God, He's always there. In fact, He's pursuing us. Half the time when we're off running away, and we're like, "Oh, look at that thing over here. You know, I'm going to go after that." You know, He's still there. He's still waiting on us. Jesus says to them, "Look, if you want your reward to be what people think about you, that's what you'll get. But there's so much more to it than that. There's so much more to life than that." And in verse 17, He says, "But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face," take a shower. Verse 18, "that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." That reward is stuff that we don't even know. I mean, like, you think for just a second about how great and how good God is. And that when He would say things like, "I will give you a reward," I mean, we don't even know. We don't even realize what we're missing when we choose to take the reward of what people think about us instead and ixnay the reward that God has for us in just making it about what it's really about, which is from our hearts wanting to seek God. So this morning, ask you a question, and it's probably a silly question. He's like, "Well, we're at church, you know, whatever." We're not at church, we are the church. So the question is this: do you want to grow closer to the Lord? Do you want to grow closer to God? Do you want to have a relationship with God? Do you want Him to lead you in your life? There's the big question. Do you want God to lead you, or do you want you to lead you? And let me just tell you, especially for us dudes, man, we have a hard time with this because we wake up in the morning and the first thing we're thinking about the day, we're thinking about, like, I got to get these 10 things done today, I got to do this to make the money, I got to do that to make the money, I got to do this to make sure that the house doesn't fall down or whatever it is, you know. And we're so busy that we leave God out of the equation of letting Him speak into our lives, when He just really basically wants to lead us and guide us and comfort us and provide for us, it's hard for us to not take over. The thing is that if you look in Scripture and if you see fasting, one of the things that's always a part of fasting in Scripture, generally speaking, when it's being followed correctly, not what Jesus was talking about, where he's giving you the kind of what not to do kind of deal, humility is one of the pieces of the puzzle that is very important to be a part of fasting. And that's because, you know, if it's not, you know, we will make it about us, right? I mean, we'll make anything about us. We'll make a conversation about us. I mean, by the time we're halfway through a conversation with somebody, if it's lasting too long, before we know it, we're already thinking about, do I really need to be in this conversation right now? What am I getting out of this? Maybe I got stuff to do, you know, I need to go, whatever, you know. And the truth is that we'll treat something that God has given us as a piece of something that can help lead us back to him, and we'll make it about us. And we do it all the time with everything. I mean, we do it all the time. Humility is so important because then it becomes not about us. Fasting is about seeking God's guidance. It's about seeking God. In fact, I want to read this thing from Piper to you, a couple little things. He says this, and this is spot on, by the way. He says, if we don't feel strong desires, and I think, by the way, if you're sitting here today, and you can honestly say, Chris, I honestly kind of don't care about my relationship with the Lord right now. I'm just kind of like whatever, and I kind of don't care, or I'm in kind of like this spiritual valley where I just feel like it's dry and God doesn't care, whatever it is. I want you to listen to this, because I think a lot of this is because we're not spending time with the Lord, and we expect God to like be some magic bullet beanstalk thing that we go visit on Sunday mornings. Here we go. Piper says, if we don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It is because we have nibbled so long at the table of the world. Our soul is stuffed with small things, and there is no room for the great. If we are full of what the world offers, then perhaps a fast might express or even increase our soul's appetite for God. Here's what's happened. We're busy. I mean, and we're good busy. A bunch of us, we're not even like bad busy. We're not like sin busy, although we've made it sin busy. We didn't realize we've done it. But we've taken good things that God has given us, whether it's work or possessions or whatever it is, fill in the blank. I'm not trying to read your mail, okay? So you figure it out for yourself. But we take these great things that God has made for us to enjoy in this life and for us to be a part of in this life, and we have made idols out of those things. And so we nibble on those things. We nibble, 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 nibble. That's what Piper's talking about there. So we nibble on this stuff to the point that eventually we're full on all of the busy. We don't have time for anything else. I mean, we still make some time, like, you know, to save face, and we'll go to church because it's the right thing to do. But let me just ask you a question. If we're going to church because it's the right thing to do, how is that different than anybody that would fast so that the other people would see them? What did Jesus call those people? Hypocrites. We don't want to be that, right? I don't know anybody that wants to be a hypocrite. I mean, that's like the last thing in the world that any of us want to be called. You call our character into question, and all of a sudden, whoa, wait just a second. You better watch your mouth before I punch it, right? That's our instant response. I had that happen to me a couple weeks ago, by the way, and my response was basically like that. I didn't say exactly that, but it was pretty close, you know, and it was over something crazy. You know, I think for us, we've got to recognize that our relationship with the Lord is so important. We've got to quit putting it on like a back burner. We've got to make it a priority. Listen, any relationship that is important to you, it has some priority in your life. You invest in it, you put time into it, and God's kind of sitting here, he's going like, look, hey, you know, maybe you need to fast from something. You know, maybe it's food. That might be the thing. Maybe that's the thing that, like, It's the easy like go-to, like, you know, you could do a food fast kind of thing to like bring you back to spending time with the Lord, because it's something that you're going to do regularly. And if you didn't do it, like, it's going to kind of jerk you around a little bit. You know, physically, it's going to jerk you around a little bit. In fact, God said it is the weakening of the body in order to strengthen the spirit. This is Matt Slick who wrote this. He said, it is interesting to note that sin entered the world through the disobedience of eating. That's crazy. I mean, you think about it. There's a lot to that. There's a lot to the food thing, the eating thing, and all that stuff. Maybe God is leading you to not fast through food. Maybe He's leading you to fast in some other way. Maybe God is leading you to fast to back away from one of the things that you've made an idol in your life. You go, well, Chris, I don't even know what that would be. Well, let me ask you a question. What's always on your mind? What is the stuff that, like, why are you working so hard? Guys, why are you working so hard? What is it you're wanting money for? Because let's face it, we have a lot. So maybe there's something else. Maybe you spend a lot of time doing this one thing that you know it's become like this priority in your life, and you know that God's not a priority in your life, and maybe you need to fast from that. Maybe you need to back away from that and go, you know what? That in of itself is not, it's not a bad thing. It's not a terrible thing, but I'm making it a bad thing because I've put it in front of God Himself. I've made it an idol, and I'm now worshiping it, and I didn't realize I was doing it, but maybe God's speaking in your heart today, and He's showing you, oh my gosh, I've done that. I'm doing that. Maybe you're kind of like what Jesus is talking about. Maybe you're going through the motions. Maybe you're at a place in your life where spiritually you feel void, and maybe you're still serving God, and you're still going, well, that John Piper guy, he didn't get it right because I'm serving God, and I don't feel like God's saying anything to me. Well, are you serving God because you love God, or are you serving God because you want everybody around you to see you as a good person? Because if it's the second, it's the hypocrite thing, and you got your reward. Your reward is whatever the people think about you that serve around you. And that's not good. That's not good. You don't want that. You don't want to end up there. In fact, that kind of service is empty. It's not even, you're just following some legalistic thing that you bought into along the way. Maybe you didn't even realize you did. I encourage you to kick that to the curb. You don't want to be there. That's not even a place you want to go visit. Like, if we're going to follow the Lord, let's follow the Lord. Like, God has got some amazing stuff for us. You know He's got a plan, right? You know He's got a plan. You know that this is on the heels of the Lord's Prayer. This, if you've got your Bible out in Matthew 6, if you go to the passage right before this, and by the way, Jesus didn't add the numbers. Scholars did that later, just so we've got places to like kind of refer to. Okay, so to Jesus, He's going from one thing to the next, and guess what's right before this? The Lord's Prayer. You're like, whoopity-doo. What does that mean? Well, He's talking about like this. In really impressionable, important passage of Scripture where God is leading us to understand, you know, what does it look like for us to pray? And not only what does it look like for us to pray, but in that prayer, what's He say? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Your will be done. Just, again, this is just a way for you to kind of maybe check your heart right now. Could you today pray and say to God with all of your heart and mean it wholeheartedly, God, Your will be done with my life. All of my plans, all of my investments, all of the stuff that I've gotten prepared, You won't take it all away. That's fine. Your will be done. You lead me. Help me to stop and take a break and seek You and be led by You. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Think about Your kingdom come. Think about that. Think about that. What if Jesus came today? What if Jesus came in 45 minutes? We didn't even get to the chips and salsa. Right? And the truth is, there's probably, and there's some people right now that would be like, well, I'm not ready for Jesus to come back. I got some things I want to do. You know, God's got a plan. He's got it worked out. And the plan may not be chips and salsa. It may be we go. I mean, like, as soon as we walk out the door, he's like waiting. Like, got the parking ride, got a charter bus out there waiting for us. We're all just going to get on it and go to heaven together. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work, okay? But are our hearts there that we could honestly say, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Piper goes on and says, this Christian fasting at its root is the hunger of a homesickness for God. Read it again. Christian fasting at its root is the hunger of a homesickness for God. I love that he uses the word hunger there when he's talking about fasting, you know. Are you hungry for the Lord? Are you hungry for your relationship with him? Are you hungry to see where he might lead you next in this life? Are you hungry for what his kingdom has to offer? Or are you too hungry for the things of the world? In fact, maybe better said, are you too full from nibbling on all of those little things of the world that you just can't bring yourself to eat anymore, and you basically filled up all your time and all your plate, and you kind of don't care? We get there. Christians get there. I've been there. I was there. I was in some bad spots last year, just emotionally, just trying to figure out what in the world is God wanting to do with me, and it was 24 Church, and just a lot of personal stuff, you know? And Satan works us over on that stuff. I mean, just knocks us down if we'll let him, you know? But the truth of the gospel brings us back to this understanding that God has a plan. And he wants to lead us and guide us through this thing called life. And he wants to use us for his kingdom. And that's amazing. I don't know if we just really understand how amazing that really is. He could do it without us. Do you know that? Did you know that God doesn't need you? As important as you are at your workplace and everybody thinks, man, they are amazing. They are so talented. They work so hard. God doesn't need you. God chooses because he loves us and he cares for us. He chooses to invite us to know him and have a relationship and be a part of his kingdom. Isn't that amazing? That's humbling to me. That's humbling. God doesn't need me. God doesn't need me to do this. God could send somebody else. Fasting piece is about seeking the Lord. It's about giving something up to replace that with pursuing God. To remember how good God is. Do you remember how good God is? If you're in one of those valleys right now where you kind of don't care where you are with the Lord, then you probably don't remember how good God is. You probably have forgotten, like, the kind of love that he has for you. And to the point that when you hear things like that, while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us, it doesn't even make a hiccup on the radar for you. Been there. I've been there. Let me encourage you to remember something. God is greater than anything this world has to offer. That's anything. That's material. That is emotional. That is physical. That is anything. He trumps all things. When people in this world say the words like can't or whatever or won't, God looks at that stuff and he laughs. He's like, yeah, okay, I'm God. I'll do whatever I want to now. Thank you very much. He has a plan for our life and wants us to be a part of His kingdom. Remember the prayer we prayed as kids at lunch? Remember this one? God is great. God is good. Let us thank you for our food. Amen. Brother Ben, right? I know some of you threw Brother Ben in there. I always threw Brother Ben in there. I never knew a Brother Ben, but you know, what the heck? It rhymed, right? It's like many more from Channel 4 at the end of the birthday thing, right? God is great. God is good. I'm going to ask you to do something today. I'm going to ask you to do something today, assuming that you're not fasting, that when you go to lunch today, or when you have lunch together at home today, or if you're by yourself, I'm going to ask you to pray that prayer. But before you pray it, maybe even ask the people around. If you've got anybody with you, you can ask yourself, you can talk to yourself, and you can look crazy. It's okay, all right? Nobody's going to judge you. Or they might, and that's okay. That's your reward, all right? Whatever. When you pray that prayer today, I want you to ask yourself before you pray it, why is God great? Why is God good? Do I believe that? And if so, why? Why would I believe that? Why would I say that if I don't believe that? God is great. God is good. Because the truth is that some of us just need to be reminded. Some of us just need to call time out and go, who is God? What has He done? How unbelievable is He? The most important thing that I could do in the process of preaching, and Joey sent this text message to me this week, it was amazing, Spurgeon quote, you know, the most important thing that I could do in the teaching, preaching of God's Word on a Sunday morning or with my life at any time is not for people to go, hey, wow, what a great preacher, or that was a great message, or whatever, but that people would walk away and go, man, how unbelievable, how great is God Himself. That's my goal. Jesus fasted 40 days. We see fasting all through Scripture. Maybe there's something that you need to let go of in life. This is a big challenge. This is a big challenge to let go of something. Generally speaking, if it's something that we need to let go of, it's probably something that we've made an idol out of. And that's not easy for us to do because it's an idol and we love it now, right? I mean, let's just be honest. We love it. We don't want to let it go. I'm going to challenge you today. I'm challenging everybody as individuals, as us for a body of believers that, you know, if God is leading you to fast from something, and it might be the food thing, and that's fine. If that's what works and that puts you back in the community with God and spending time with Him, then start it up. And if you want the how-to, don't come ask me. There's a ton of that kind of stuff online. It'll tell you how to do it. And please be careful and don't just do it because you want to lose a bunch of weight or something. That's not what it's for. That's the wrong heart. And then you're right back to where Jesus said, you know, don't be doing this. You're a hypocrite. Follow what God is leading you to do, whatever that is. Okay? Here's what I know. I know that we as individuals were bought with the blood of Jesus. I know that we as the church, the body of believers, have been bought with the blood of Jesus. And I know this. I know that God has a mission. And He's called us to be a part of it. But for so many of us, we're not getting to be a part of it because we're not listening to God, because we're too busy. You may have some sin in your life that you know is going to secretly destroy you somehow. Let me just encourage you, get rid of it now. Lay it down at the feet of Jesus now. Let go of it now. Let God begin to heal you and work in your heart now. Not 2 weeks from now, not a month from now. Don't tell God, once I get this stuff in order, then I'll let you do. No, stop. God wants to use you. He wants to work in your heart. He wants to lead you. And I know this. God's up to something. God's up to something. Did you know that? God has been positioning this body of believers to do something for His kingdom that I don't even know. I have glimpses of what I think that it includes. I think that it includes us being a light to the world. I think it includes us being used to reach our community. I think that it has to do with loved ones that you and I have that don't know Christ, that God is wanting to use us as individuals and as this body to see that God is real and that He loves them and that He would save them. God's aligning a lot of things right now within our church. A lot of people that God has been moving in their hearts and have been talking to me, and even things like Him bringing to us a kids minister with David. I mean, there's just a lot of pieces of a puzzle that are coming together. The things that we're going to be embarking on in the next several weeks, the things that we'll be announcing here in the next couple weeks, you know, all of that stuff are pieces to the puzzle. And here's my concern, okay? As a pastor, here's my concern, that God is going to want to use a church to do a great thing for His glory, but we're not going to be listening. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. I want to be ready. I want to be ready to go. And you may go, well, Chris, I'm burnt out. I'm kind of tired. Whatever. Let me just tell you, God wants to restore you. And sometimes, just like with the classic car kind of deal, when restoration is involved, if you're going to do it right, sometimes you've got to take it all the way down to the bare metal and bring it all the way back up. He wants to restore you for His glory, for His purpose, for His kingdom. Great things to come. Great things that we get to set on the sidelines of the whole thing and get to watch it and get to be a part of it. God wants to use you to do great things for His kingdom. He created you for His glory. So what is it that you could do? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. If it takes fasting for you to seek the Lord, then fast. If it takes you fasting from a thing in your life other than food, then do that. Whatever God's leading you to do, I'm here today. I'm pushing Jesus' agenda today. That's why I'm here. That's what I'm about. That's what I'm doing right now. That's between you and Him. I don't know what it is for you, but I'm encouraging you to do it, whatever it is. Whatever He's speaking to your heart about, whatever He's saying, let go of that, do this, whatever, do it. Follow Him wholeheartedly. Run as fast as you can. Remember who He is. Remember what He has done. Remember how wonderful He has been to us, despite our sinner selves. Remember how He saved you. Remember that He loves you. Remember that He provides for you. Remember that He hurts with you. You hurting today? You're not alone. He hurts with you. Scott Witeka won the Country Music Marathon yesterday. Country Music Marathon. For some reason, and I don't get to see a whole lot of TV these days for whatever, being too busy. Maybe that's not a bad one, though, to miss out on. I just happened to catch between Friday and yesterday, last night on the news and some stuff, this guy who was going to win, or who was going to run the Country Music Marathon, who went on to win it. Well, the funny thing is they were interviewing this guy on Friday. I mean, out of 30,000 runners, they're interviewing this guy. Why are they interviewing this guy on Friday? Well, they're interviewing this guy on Friday because he's won it the last 2 years. This is the third year in a row that he's won the Country Music Marathon. You know, and I'm thinking, as they're interviewing this guy, and even last night, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, well, that guy, he's probably like, he's, you know, there's like these people that like they travel. I know how some of you runners are. Like you'll travel, you know, like go run a deal somewhere, which is cool or whatever. And you know, I'm thinking, well, he's one of these guys, he probably travels all over and he probably wins marathons everywhere, or, you know, whatever. And here's this guy, you know, and he's, here it is, you know, third year in a row, he's won this thing. Well, then they get to, I saw a little bit of an interview on Friday. And I'm watching this deal on Friday, and they're interviewing him, and they're asking him, "Hey, do you think that you'll win the race this year?" And he's like, "I honestly don't know. I've actually got some pretty serious medical stuff going on physically with me, that it will be hard for me to win the race if I were to win the race, even to finish the race." So, fast forward to yesterday, he wins the race. Well, last night they're interviewing the guy, you know, and I'm thinking this guy, he's probably traveled from some other state and he goes around winning marathons, or it's like his thing or something. And they're interviewing, they're asking, "Well, you know, how was it?" And he's like, "Oh man, I feel like I'm about to die," you know, kind of thing. And they're like, "Well, you know, you're going to come back and try to do it again?" He's like, yeah, I'll come back, you know, I'll probably," and he's kind of making jokes about it. He's like, "You know, next year I'll be a year older, I'll probably be, you know, more senile," and, you know, stuff like this, just kind of poking fun at himself. And then they get to talking about who this guy is. You know who he is? He's a PE teacher in White House. Just a guy. PE teacher in White House. I bet his kids are pretty jacked up, by the way. But I was watching that, and I was thinking to myself, you know, there's a guy that's a runner. For some of us that maybe aren't serious runners, you ever find yourself going into, like, sports seasons, and you buy yourself a new set of tennis shoes, new set of running shoes, and you get those shoes, and you think, "Man, these shoes, I'm going to start running." See how many of you are guilty right there. You think, "I'm going to start running. Man, these shoes are going to be nice." And so, you know, you get your shoes and you take them home. They're all nice in the box and, you know, like super bright white or whatever, you know, and they're so perfect, you know, and you're thinking, "Man, tomorrow I'm going to start running in these shoes." A couple days go by. Week goes by. You're thinking, "Man, I haven't got to run, but man, these shoes are nice to just be around the house in. They're real nice. They're comfortable. You know, but I'm going to start running. Next week, I'm going to run." Next week goes by. Month goes by. 6 months go by. And you're thinking, "Man, eventually, I'm going to try these shoes out. I'm going to go running, and it's going to be legit." For those of us that feel that way, we're not really runners. My boy Scott, he's a runner. He's a runner. You see, Jesus is saying to us, don't talk about running the race. He's saying, run the race. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a pretend runner, you know. Be somebody that's going to be disciplined enough to make sure that you finish well. God wants us to finish well. Don't we want to finish well? What's possible? What's possible when a church, a body of believers, collectively decide, I'm going to run, and I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm not just going to run because it's in my own power that I might be able to run, but I'm going to run seeking the Lord, and I'm going to run after what He leads me to do. What would happen? What would happen, church? God could do whatever He wanted to do with a church like that. I am challenging you today. No. I'm begging you today. I'm begging you. Seek the Lord. this week, and I'm saying don't start 2 weeks from now. I'm talking about today. Today, before you lay down and go to sleep tonight, seek the Lord. Spend some time in prayer. Spend some time in His Word. If you need to find something that you go, you know what, I'm going to give up this thing. I got this show that I watch every day. I got this thing I do every day. I got this whatever. I'm going to figure out a way. I'm going to seek the Lord every day. You make it a priority and you run after it. Otherwise, you know what? We'll be running shoe owners with no race. And that's not where we want to be. God wants to use us to do great things for His kingdom. Jesus warns us of the danger that comes with hypocrisy. Don't fall into it. Don't pretend. Run the race. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus to be your Savior, I want you to consider, if you feel God speaking to your heart today, to trust Him to save you. He wants to save you. He can save you, and He will if you trust in Him to do so. Listen to the Lord. Run for Him. Let Him change you. Let Him restore you today. You need Him. I need Him. We need Him. Let's pray together.